We are starting in a couple of seconds, so welcome, Norbert.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me, right? So yeah, my name is Norbert Poch. I work at Red Hat. And today I will talk about hybrid public key encryption. And later we will source it with like some post-quantum. OK, so is here anybody who already knows about HPKA? Please raise your hand. Oh, nice. There's quite a few people. Okay. Okay, so who doesn't know, HPKA stands for Hybrid Public Key Encryption. It's a symmetric and asymmetric, like it's combining both into a scheme. It uses a key encapsulation mechanism. It's used for key exchange. It's like key exchanges, like you have like Diffie-Hellman. This is a bit different approach. You can find the RFC in the 9180. So yeah, we have the fundamental parts of the HPKA scheme. You have like K encapsulation method, the K derivation or K schedule, and the AEAD, which provides the encryption of the messages itself. Below, you can see listed the algorithms which are supported. For the K encapsulation method, we have prime, curves, and Edward curves. For the K derivation, we use SHA versions, and the AAD supports AES and ChaChaPoly. So yeah, some familiar like words you will find later. For the chem operations, we have K generations, encapsulation, and decapsulation. For the KDF, we have extract and expand. The extract generates a key from some input data, and expand expands this extracted key to some length we wish. For the AAD, we have seal and open, which are encrypt and decrypt. It's just an alias to it. Okay, so let's talk about how does it work. At the one side, you can see the chem and the key schedule, encryption context, and AAD. Encryption context divides asymmetric on the left and symmetric on the right. This is really important because, like we'll see later, that this diversion enables us to change parts in it and leave the scheme still impact. So let's say we want to use like different algorithms for the K encapsulation method, and like we just change it and like can proceed with the scheme itself. So we use K derivation to the K encapsulation, create an encryption context, which will consist of data we will need to do encryption of some data or messages in the AAD. And the last part, like the symmetric part, is the AAD, where we like grab some messages, encrypt it, and like send it over. So this is the communication part. Now I want some feedback from the last row. Is it readable? Okay, thank you. So this is a formal diagram. How does it work? I will go it through. So we have Bob on the right and Alice on the left. We will assume that Bob have some private key which already shared with Alice. We don't care in the HPKA how. So let's pretend that Alice knows the public key of Bob. Then we will start with the encapsulation. So Alice generates a temporary key pair called ephemeral. Okay, it's visible. So here, it's the PKE and SKE. And we will use Bob's private key and Alice's public key and private key to make like Diffie-Hellman, which will give us a shared secret. Then we use the shared secret in the k-deviation function to create a common key. Then we send over our public ephemeral key to Bob, so he can do the same to get the shared secret. Here, like, so we encapsulate it, send it over, and now we are at Bob. Bob does the encapsulation. He has his private key and Alice's public key, does the Diffie-Hellman, get the same shared secret. The shared secret is again used at the KDF, and we have a common key. So the common key is the same at Alice and Bob. This is the end of the K encapsulation part. Now we move to K schedule. So we get this common key, use the extract to generate some salt, let's say, then expand it to get a key, and expand it one more time, but with different information, as you can see here, to get a nonce. And then next second one, the third one is secret for exportation. So now we have set up the communication, and we can do actually encrypted message conversations, which is the seal and the open. As you can see, we use the key, the nonce, some additional information, and the key, the private text, plain text. Thank you. So here, you can see XOR. The messages are counted. So every message has a counter, and we XOR it with the nonce. Therefore, every message will be different, even if the message is like the same. So if the plain text is the same, we will get a different ciphertext. That's the reason. OK, so we have this nice scheme. What can we use it for? Possible usages are the MLS or messaging layer security. It's quite new stuff, I think, maybe 1 year old. The MLS uses, so MLS solves a problem where we want to communicate. We have communicating parties more than two. So let's say I want to communicate with you, but I want to communicate with you and you and you. So it's harder to exchange keys this way, because when we have like a two-way communication, it's easy, right? So this is the problem that MLS solves. Then we have the TLS client hello and the Oblivios DNS over HTTPS. The last one is I think a new one too. That solves the encryption of the IP address of the requester. Okay, so HPK comes with three modes. The first one is the basic, and then there are two more providing authentication. We have authentication mode with private key or a pre-shared key in a PSK mode. Or we can combine the both and have the out PSK mode. What about the security? The base mode is proven to be secure against indistinguishability, ciphertext, and the authenticated modes are outsider and insider CCI secure. Yeah, so later on, you can find the report at the references. So let's move to the post-quantum stuff. As I said before, the K encapsulation and the AEID are separated. So to make it post-quantum, we can just put post-quantum algorithms to the K encapsulation method. and we will get post-quantum HPKA. The proposal was for Kyber and Psyche, but as most of you know, Psyche is already out of the game. Kyber is one of the NIST finalists for K exchange methods. It uses CHEM the same way instead of DH style K exchange. It is a lattice-based game standing upon learning with errors and running problem. And Kyber is proven to be IND CCA2 secure too. Yeah, so we have this nice diagram again, where we can see hybrid version. We have post-quantum only version of HPKA and hybrid. Hybrid uses post-quantum and the old algorithms too for the K encapsulation method. Like if one breaks, you can still have some security. So you can see gray boxes here. This is these boxes are the old old algorithms, which means if we eliminate them, the post-quantum version will be visible. That means the same way. So first, I will go through the post-quantum. Okay. Same way Bob generates a key pair prior HPKA, and let's say that Alice already knows that key. Okay. A difference here is that we don't do classical Diffie-Hellman, but we encrypt some random data, and we will get a shared secret here. And the ciphertext of that shared secret. Then we do the K derivation to get the common key, send over the ciphertext of the shared secret to Bob, who can decrypt it and do the same here. And as you can see, everything else is the same as the basic HPKA. For the hybrid mode, the only difference is here. So for the KDF, the post-quantum and the basic shared secret is concatenated, and everything else should be the same. Okay, so what is the security of the post-quantum? In the base mode, it's still IND CCA2 secure because the CAME algorithm is proven to be IND CCA2 secure. For the hybrid mode, it needs more proof because the concatenation there and the authentication for both both hybrid and the PQ only would need more work. So let's see some benchmarks. I got this benchmark from the paper, which you can see below. They were done on an Intel Core i7 with 4 cores, 8 megabytes of cache, and 8 gigabytes of RAM, using AWC LST cryptographic library. And the environment, each algorithm was run 10,000 times, and the first and fourth quartile was eliminated of the measures to make it more accurate. The measures are in CPU clock cycles, and I think it was medium or something like that. Okay, so here you can see Psyche, which is now eliminated, but I think it's a nice reference, but it was a lot slower. The blue one is the basic Edward curve, like the basic HPKA. Then the green one is a hybrid one. And here the yellow is Kyber only. And as you can see, it is faster than the Edward curve, which is interesting. Then there is one more graph. Here you can see the green lines, which tells us that the k-encapsulation method is constant time, so it doesn't constant in a way that it doesn't affect the encryption itself, because the tests were done for data encryption for 1 kilobyte of data, 10 kilobyte, 100 kilobyte, and 1 megabyte of data. So as you can see, the cost is more on the encryption of the data itself. So there is a red line. You can see that's for reference. This is a version of RSA encrypting 214 bytes of data. Yeah, so here you can see references if you want to read more about it. And thank you for attention. So any questions?
We had some question on metrics, so I will try to read it. The question was, how do we make quantum-resistant crypto work on constrained devices?
What?
How do we make quantum-resistant crypto work on constrained devices? Like, limited hardware, CPU power, everything.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer for, so sorry for that.
Okay, so any other question in here?
Thank you. The last slide, I think page 15, you showed some benchmarks, but these are on the whole encryption, right? Like not only the exchange of the keys and the setup of the symmetric key, but the whole exchange, right?
They are both. So as you can see, the green line is like the key exchange itself. And then you have like the seal and the open operation here. So it's, if you take, for example, one message and one key exchange, that's what the benchmark says. Like it's together.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, and which was expected, because anyway, the post-quantum part is only in the beginning of the exchange. And then when the symmetric key is established, you continue with
yes,
using your AEAD.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, thanks.
So the post-quantum part is only at the K exchange, and later on it is the same.
Okay, because any other question? Or
yeah, I just wanted to say that the post-quantum is more about like asymmetric keys. It doesn't really affect the symmetric part, so it's okay.
Any other question around here? If not, we can probably thank you for your talk. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you for coming.